This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 323 of the Countdown Podcast. Today we've been thankful for big budget art and successful bowel movements. It's been a great day for both of us. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And I'm trying desperately to keep a straight face while Wayne just cackles inanely,
like a bitch,
insanely in the background. Even today's topic. No, I don't think you even adroitly alluded to it there.
I said big budget art.
Yeah, the top 10 summer movie blockbusters. So summer, obviously, in the North America is where the big films of the year ever since a certain film in 1975, which I won't mention in case it's on someone's list, came out and created this concept of the summer tentpole. We have never, in 322 previous countdowns, covered this topic. So today is the day, because 323 is so significant. It's not.
It's not. But let's say it is, okay? And by the way, I do have to clear something up here with Paul. And, you know, it's about the brief. I know I should have done this last week. It doesn't matter. I just want to say. Now, hang on. This will appeal to your fucking rulesy fucking headset.
Okay? Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Summer months in America. All right. Did a little bit of research here. Okay. Now, Americans, I know most of you are Americans out there that are listening. Yeah, a predominant portion.
Or North Americans.
Yeah. North Americans, of course. Sorry. I am told that from my Googling that summer is considered by y'all to be between the first weekend in May and Labor Day, which is September the 6th.
Right? Okay.
Which is like 4 months, kind of.
I'm okay with that.
Okay with that?
I wasn't like Black Panther, kind of a blockbuster. It's not on my list, but that was out in either late Feb or early March.
Dude, Lord of the Rings, Superman the movie, Close Encounters, Christmas. So, you know, yeah, they ain't on the list.
Yeah, none of those are on my list either, but no. I didn't even go and check the release date. I just went, this was a studio tentpole of the year.
Okay.
Right, so maybe as we go, we should check the release dates. Right,
that's fine, let's just tell you that. But I just wanted to know, because like there's certain, for example, I wanted to put a certain movie that you all know I love on here, but it was actually not released in summer. One of its sequels was, but so I'm like, okay, cool. But that's good, because that gives us a way to cull the list.
Right, well, whilst we are moving through this list, I better start researching.
Nah, don't worry about it. Let's just play
I've got like six alternates I can swap in, no worries at all.
Paul's got a modular list, my shit is locked. Ish.
So well, anyway. Last week I only had barely 10. Yeah. So
doesn't always go that way.
Depends on the list. This easily could have been a top 30 this week.
Easily, man.
Deliberately so. We picked an easy topic on us rather than some of the hard shit we had to do the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's what I like about it. It becomes just us fucking jacking off about really, really great movies we loved. So that's
as opposed to us just jacking off.
Exactly. Right. That's just a different podcast. Okay.
That's After Dark. The Countdown After Dark behind the scenes.
Yeah, but just down After Dark.
All right, well, we'll get into all that on the other side of this segment, which kicks off every episode. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
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 Who
wants a recount?
Who?
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 Who wants a recount?
Who?
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 Who wants a recount?
The Recount, where we hear from you all, Paul.
Well, this week's... All revolves around last week's topic, which was the top 10 ridiculous movie missions and what won your vote. So this one wasn't actually that close. I actually won this week.
You killed it from what I saw.
34 to 22 votes overall, as you can imagine.
A spanking.
A comfortable victory, we'll call it that one. Yeah. Chad Fatler said, Paul wins my vote simply because he could quote lines from a Discworld book by Terry Pratchett, one of my favorite book series. Nothing like it, relevant.
Sounds like a Paul voting blog.
Well, Brad Hargis from the Cinema Guys podcast and patron of the show said, Iron Eagle gets my vote this week.
Who?
Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. Good one.
Smiley Samani, mate of ours, said the same thing. Paul gets it just for knowing the genius that is Terry Pratchett. So, okay.
See, yeah, you got peeps out there, bro.
Well, Peter Grant said Wayne because I just don't like Paul.
So, I hear you.
Then you were taken to pieces by Connell Tobin McNeils, who said, Hooper shows up on a little whaler. The boat Wayne is thinking of is the Ben Gardner scene. So that was Ben Gardner's boat in Jaws, not with the super tech.
Which one is Ben Gardner?
He's the guy's head is floating, which they find.
Can we not just use his boat, though?
I'm not sure that's what you can just do. It's like, fuck it, we'll just use his boat. Yeah! You know. And again, my argument wouldn't have allowed it, but there we are. Andy Cole Presley, a card carrying member of the Wayne Body Block, said, "For sure, Wayne wins. He had for Star Wars, The Da Vinci Code, and Oceans. Except I had Star Wars, and you had Return of the Jedi. So there you go.
I love you." Is what I'm saying.
And David Powell, top level patron of the show and moderator of the Facebook listening community, said, "Both had some great picks, but the 1-2 punch of Snyder's god awful writing and Face Off, the dumbest movie ever written, wins it for Paul." So there we are.
I disagree with that completely. But yes, Face Off. Come on, man, Face Off.
Face Off is a good one.
Face Off is the bomb. He said it was dumb, didn't he?
It is it's a dumb film, yeah, but it's great.
It's awesome.
It's great. At least we think it is. There we are. So that takes it to 10-7-1 on the year. Today's top 10 blockbusters. Let's see whether Wayne's going to rally back. I reckon just quietly the voting block is ready.
Yeah, we'll see. The inventory folks. Fair enough, fair enough.
And I'll just drop in a few Terry Pratchett quotes along the way.
Okay.
And that's it, really. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Nope, we are.
Let's just get straight into it then. On the other side is Music Cue, the top 10 summer movie blockbusters. Is the topic of this week's countdown.
What was that last bit?
From Mostly Summer. all right, well, look, it's pretty straightforward, the brief, except, as we just discussed off mic, as long as it ran through summer.
Yeah, it ran through summer, right. You watch it in summer.
Because my number 10, why don't I lead away?
Go ahead.
My number 10, this might ruffle a few feathers. Given how worshipped this film series is, and we're all chafing at the bit for the latest iteration to drop onto our streaming platforms in the next week or so.
Okay.
I'm talking my favourite Avengers film, Avengers: Infinity War.
Good one. Good one. Now listen, I of course, this is actually not on my list.
Fair enough, that's fine.
And I only just did the thing where it opened slightly before
yes,
this.
So, and it did open.
And it could easily be on my
list. In April, and it ran forever, probably for about 3 months or through summer.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to shop it out. If we want to
keep it. I like it because it did run through summer. It's totally legit. And let me tell you something. I still watch those YouTube videos where there's someone in the movie cinema who shot the reaction of the crowd when Cap gets the Mjolnir.
Oh, wrong one. Endgame. You're talking Endgame.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
Talking
what'd
Infinity
you say?
War.
Oh, Infinity time. War. Yeah, you're yeah. right. It was the better one.
I liked Infinity War a lot better.
Infinity War was a better and different, I would say, movie, right? In terms of that. It was definitely the one where we all shat our pants, right? Then Endgame comes and it just becomes like this relatively, I'm loath to say perfect, but somewhat, very incredibly satisfying end.
Whereas I didn't think that at all. I think the last act of Endgame is amazing. The battle yeah. and all the
Do you think
the
last act makes up for the rest of it?
But I think it's very convoluted how they get themselves out of the trouble that they got into in Infinity War.
Yeah, but it worked, man.
You know, having to rely upon a rat that walks across something and presses a button.
Huge!
Like,
huge!
And I don't think it's anywhere near as good a film because it's not as well paced. It's very sort of, it's too long. That's what I'm trying to say, Endgame.
Yeah.
It's way too long. Whereas
man.
Infinity War, I think it's perfect. It does not feel it's 2 hours and 45 minute runtime.
No, Infinity War is a better movie. So no question.
That's why I chose it. It's my favorite of all the MCU films. I could watch it, rewatch it anytime. I delighted rewatching it again with my daughter when we worked our way through the film.
Did she dig it?
Yeah, she liked it all. She was shocked when they all started to flake away.
It was such a huge thing, man. So yeah, I remember that. Very, very cool.
That's my 10.
Nice one. My number 10, maybe unexpected, but maybe not. It's Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, ooh, very yeah. nice choice.
And of course, Ghost Protocol was in December, so that's why that wasn't on here. So Fallout here, but not to diminish this one
in
at
July.
All.
July, yep.
Yeah, this one, it's a pure but a practical action film, and I do. I was actually thinking about this the other day. First of all, everything about it is great. We even said this. I think you. I don't know if you said it was the best or among the best in the franchise, and it was the last one.
It is the best.
It is the best. Yeah. So that's the last one in the
as
series.
I'm
is
concerned.
The best? Yeah. So you think it's better than one?
Yep.
Wow.
I'm very keen, and I will get around to this because I've got one and I've got seven on 4K. I haven't watched either of them yet. Mm. I'm waiting for the next one. And in the lead up to that, I'm going to watch it.
I'm so intrigued about that next one. It's like, oh, that's going
to
be so cool.
With all the problems I've had with COVID and having to stop and start, it feels like the shoot's gone on forever.
Dude, it has. And the other one, this one, Tom Cruise broke his fucking ankle. And it's like it's like 6 months delay and shit. I'm like, whoa. So it's like, these movies are insane and they're insane to do. And all kinds of shit goes south on it. But damn if I'm not continually impressed by that shit.
Motherfucker was 55 or 54 when he shot this film.
Inhuman.
Yeah, that's a goodly number of years older than us. Can you imagine us doing even half of that shit that he's doing?
I can't even imagine myself doing the Tom Cruise run at 50. So I want to be able to, don't get me wrong. But like, that's how that shit works out. You know, I was thinking about this film. Henry Cavill, World's Most Beautiful Man, is in this film. I know we disagree on that. But if I would hit
that's
that.
The way you junk points, then fair enough.
It is totally where it points.
Yep.
He, remember the mustache? Looked terrible on him. I hate the mustache on him. All right. I believe, I don't know. I'm just thinking, Tom Cruise is like, okay, we're going to get this Henry Cavill guy who is Superman and is way hot as fuck, but I need to ugly him up some, so can we get him to do a fucking Mo? So I'm the good looking movie.
You think Tom Cruise insisted?
I do. He's a producer, bro. He could say make the guy wear a fucking cock on his head if he wanted to. He wouldn't. He would. But the that's what I think happened here. It's like, let's make Tom Cruise the best looking man in the movie still. That mustache fucked the whole thing up, man. And also, the way he was dressed was shit. He's got like...
Oh, here we go.
No, he doesn't look like... If you were dressing Henry Cavill, you'd make sure you accentuated his, you know, fucking pecs and shit like that. He had a weird, like, gray-colored shirt on. It's crap. So, yeah, I think that's what happened. And that's
I
what
stand resolute, motherfucker!
Still an amazing film. Still an amazing film.
I was going to say, you just spent, like, 3 minutes ragging on it.
No, ragging on Tom Cruise, who I reckon uglified fucking Henry Cavill. That's what I'm saying. But it's an amazing film,
it's
and it still works.
Almost worthy of this list, just for that moment where he cocks his fist.
Dude, the cocking of the arms is fucking great. It's like one of my faves. Click, click, boom. Yep. Yes,
very funny. Great film. Really enjoy it. Good choice. My number 9 is a classic. Goes all the way back to 1981. It is Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Interesting. You should pick this one. Okay, Raiders, huh?
Do you have this one on your list?
I don't have this one on my list.
I have a different one.
Yeah.
Oh God, you haven't got Temple of Buddy Boom.
I don't think. According to my researcher, I don't. Was it a summer one, that one?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think it was because it didn't appear in my research.
Went, all right,
I know, obviously I'm giving it away now. But anyway, yes, no, tell
King
me about...
of the Crystal Skull, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yo, Raiders, right? How old were you when you first saw it?
I do not remember. This is one of those films which lives in my memory as it feels like it. I could have watched it when I was 7. I could have watched it when
Absolutely.
I was 15.
What year was it?
It came out 81.
81, all right? So we would have been
I can't imagine
six.
I was allowed to watch it when it came out, even with my very liberal parents in terms of what I could watch and not watch.
Well, let me ask you this. When you did first watch it and you saw the thing at the end with the facing melting thing, right?
Yep.
Thoughts? Like, well, do you remember how you felt? Because I fucking couldn't watch it. I couldn't. I was like, this is the most horrific thing to watch the guy's eyeballs and then the blood and it's plasticine, yep. Right? But I mean, now it's like, but it's still kind of gross to me or something, right? And I remember having that big, I thought, this movie is great, but I can't watch the end. Right, and that was the whole cool. That was the whole thing about it—the ball, the this, the that.
Oh, the iconic opening, incredible. Harrison really Ford at his absolute most charming and debonair, and that the perfect blend of that dapper kind of university professor, and then you know puts on the fedora, puts on the dusty jacket, and
it's not just
cracks that whip, man. He's so fucking cool.
And it's like 1935 or whatever, or whenever it's supposed to be, right? And so he's got that style of these like round glasses and this fucking like. You know, tweed jacket shit. But then he goes and busts ass and shit on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole... No one's ever gone, who's the nerd here? You know, like, who's the hot nerd here? That this is where it sort of started, I reckon. Almost.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
yep, I'm with it. Incredible action set pieces as well. So that chase when they're transporting the Ark and he's trying to get to the front of the...
Just taking
out motherfuckers along the way. Woo!
That's cool.
So
you know,
good.
Subsequent games, Indiana Jones became a badass. Like, when he could just beat... It's known that he can beat up everyone, which he of course can't. But that's why it's cool, because he can kick ass.
All right.
All right. My number 9 is Edge of Tomorrow. Or if
wow.
you like... Live, yeah, it's... this
the
is
The 1-2 Tom Cruise punch.
It is. And I'll tell you why, because I actually think this is the best sci-fi I've ever seen. All right? That's
the fuck?
Yeah, man. You say you don't like it because of the ending that you think cops out, but for me, it makes me happier. Like it's
I like this film. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
I've only ever seen it once.
I love it. It's really.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Emily Blunt's so good in this as well, man. Like she's just like, I believe this pretty girl is a badass. I'm like, yeah, nice work.
I just think Doug Liman is the most inconsistent director.
I would agree.
In Hollywood,
I would actually agree.
He's great. His best films are so good,
and
his worst films are so god awful.
Yeah. Like that fucking, the other Tom Cruise one he did with the where he was like the drug runner dude or whatever it was called.
American Made or...
Yeah, that.
Did he do that one, did he?
Okay. Yeah. And so that one was like, it's not a blockbuster. But this one here, it was, I can't believe how well it worked. And it shouldn't have because I should have been bored with all those, you know, relive the game, relive the thing, whatever. That's why this was the shit for me. So, yeah, I actually think this is amazing. I think it's amazing.
Look, no arguments. It's a really well-crafted film. It's very entertaining. Yes, I don't particularly like the wimpy ending.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a stellar choice. I'm just shocked by that statement that this is your favorite sci-fi film of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about it now, and I think I am right. No, it's like, well, no, I mean...
you're wrong, and I'm going to show you how you're wrong as we progress through this list.
Unless you consider certain franchise sci-fi. Yeah, okay.
All right.
I get it wrong.
My number eight also might ruffle a few feathers and ensure that I don't win this week.
What?
This is where I put it. I'm sorry. I didn't even check what year, month it came out, almost sure it was July. The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. Hang on a sec. I want to say low, but I can't remember where it went. Oh, you know what? Go on. Go on. I don't think it's on my list, and I don't know why. I don't know why. Hang on. Wait. Is it? Yes, it is. Sorry. So, slightly low.
As you can tell, this podcast is a well-oiled machine.
Well, it's just fluid. Fluid.
Fluid, yeah.
Tell me about The Dark Knight Returns.
The greatest, I still believe, the greatest film ever based on a comic book. I think it holds up as its own thriller, as its own...
This beats all the Marvels.
Yeah, it does for me.
I agree.
Yep. We've had my best Marvel film already, now we've got Dark Knight. So if we're rank ordering it here, then so be it. This is one of the greatest films of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, no question. And the fact that it's like, because remember when it came out, it was the IMDb number one for like 10 minutes, right? But that
must
means
be
it's
still
huge.
Very high up there, I'm sure.
Well, dude, I mean, I think that what I remember of the show is that me and my ex at the time, my girlfriend at the time, I actually bought gold class tickets for this when it came out, right? And it was happening in a few days. That was when the Saturday night was, right? Then one day she was like depressed or something. And I said, it was like Thursday night. And I said, you know what? What if I just take you to see The Dark Knight tonight and that'll cheer you up? And she's like, yeah, because you really wanted to go. So even though I had paid for tickets and everything already, we went on the Thursday night to the Astor and watched it and had this amazing night.
Nice.
Because it was such a good thing. And we were like, I can't believe how good Heath Ledger is. And I can't believe how fucking this. And then we saw it again the other... And it was...
2 nights later.
And it's just like 20 hours long, this movie, right? So it's like wicked. So Christopher Nolan is a genius. He just doesn't always get it. Like Tenet sucks, man. I hope Tenet's not on your list.
No, Tenet's not on my list.
No, Tenet's actually Tenet's
You have turned hard on Tenet. I still like it.
Do you? No,
I still enjoy it.
I really wish.
Anyway, that's a different discussion for another time.
Of course.
The Dark Knight, obviously Heath Ledger's Joker is legendary. And the choices this film makes, the action sequences when they occur. But it's not just the action sequences. It's the bits in between. Like the standoff between the Joker and Batman and the way, you know, in the police interrogation room.
You know, I saw this interview with Michael Jai White, who is in the opening scene with the Joker, where he does the pencil thing.
Oh, yeah?
And he was saying that set...
Not opening scene, but later on.
Later on, whatever.
Bank heist.
The intro scene, I guess. He said that whole set is Christopher Nolan. And he said, you would not believe how sort of cavalier the set was. Heath Ledger's cracking jokes in between every set, and then he does the serious scene. And then he came out, and he said, Heath Ledger... Everyone was like, ooh, Heath Ledger. That's how they were.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said Heath Ledger actually asked me, he's like, what do you think of this scene? And he's like, you're asking me? And it's just cool to see how he was a cool guy. Like, you know, he's from real loss.
But what a film. Number eight, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Nice.
Let's see how high it goes on your list.
You're about to see how frivolous and wainish this list gets, because my number eight is fucking Point Break. I love Point Break, man. I love the crap out of it. We're talking 10th of July, 1991. All right, that's when this film came out. We were in year 11. All right, this is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of
Point Break.
I don't think I'm exaggerating here. 1,000% behind my Point Break pick at number eight. First of all, here's a movie where the feature of the show is bad acting. This movie, when they tried to redo it in whenever it was with the other one, right?
Movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah, that was a piece of shit. Although, point of fact, like apparently the wingsuiting scenes in that scene are beyond belief. Kind of like most professionals go, I can't believe they did that. But because the movie was shit, you never hear about it. Boom. All right, that's Hollywood, everyone. But in this Point Break, the Patrick Swayze doing the spiritual surfer thing and the Keanu Reeves, who I actually thought it was a joke that they had this moondoggy dude try and play an FBI agent who doesn't like surfers. I'm like, what? Anyway, it doesn't matter because the whole thing works amazingly. There's even Red Hot Chili Peppers in here, which Paul might like because I hate that shit.
You mean Anthony Kiedis?
Yeah, it was just him, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't think, was Flea in this movie too? I can't remember.
He seems to be in a lot of things. So I can't even tell you how many times I've watched Point Break, and now I actually celebrate the idea of Point Break. As a brown man, I don't go to the beach that often. Just my people don't really swim in the ocean. but Trust me, it's an Asian thing. So, but the idea of it and the time that I remember it. Are you really not fond of Point Break?
We redid it at some point through the course of the show, I think, for a Patreon request.
It's awesome.
And I gave it 3.5 stars.
3.5 stars. Yeah. Dude, that even the opening scene.
It would have been a 4-star on original watch. So it dropped a bit for me, but still, this is.
Do you remember the opening scene where Keanu Reeves is standing in the rain at the gun range? And then he's got the shotgun and the fucking piece, like, and he just nails it all. And they're like, well done, Utah, full marks. And he's smiling and shit like that. I remember everyone, just all the women and kind of me losing my juice in the cinema. It was just cool. It was well shot. Catherine Bigelow, what's up, man?
Well, look, it's a good film. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it belongs on the top 10 blockbusters of all time.
It was never not on my list.
Wow.
Hold out, man. Hold out.
All right, well, here comes another big call, because they're all big calls on this list. That's how big it is. My number 7 is Terminator 2, : Judgment Day.
No. We're going to have a bunch of fucking cross-ups of this. Yep. Fair enough. All right, so T2.
T2 is phenomenal. Like the first
another 1991 film.
Yeah, and out July, this one.
So ran against Point Break. Whew. You know what I'm saying? So
at least you had this one above Point Break. Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, and ugly. Yeah, quite a bit.
A film which 30 years later still holds up in terms of how it looks.
When did you see this last?
In terms of the special effects, I watched it at the cinema a couple of years ago.
Nice. Ooh, in the cinema too.
And the rest in the re-release 3D version, which was fine. You know, it didn't really add too much.
Oh man, T2, in my head, in my estimation, in my sort of my conscious memory, that to me was the one film where everyone, even the cool kids at high school, were like, that movie's going to fucking rock, man. Because we'd never seen that fucking, that silver, effect before. So that was James Cameron doing his James Cameron, right? But boy, did it fucking work. And I think my favorite one was where Arnie gets in through the helicopter. Oh, sorry, not Arnie, Robert Patrick. Through the window, he just fills up and turns into the pilot. Fucking cool. Who even thought of that?
The whole film is astounding from beginning to end. And the transitioning of Arnold, you know, whose brand had gotten so big by this point in time that he could pretty much do what he wanted to. Let's make my bad guy another version of him and be the good guy. Like,
I'm
not sure that was Arnold's idea, but it absolutely worked because he was that much more popular.
It worked before the movie started, because when I heard he was a good guy, I wanted to see it more. That's how that goes. So that was good. This is like the cat and mouse chasing. It is maybe one of those the best versions of that cat and mouse type movie.
I've seen this film at least a dozen times. And sure, like anything, if you watched it 3 times in 1 week, it'd be boring.
Yeah. But
every time I come back to it, you know, a year or 2 years later, I'm like, yep, this is fantastic.
Whatever happened to Eddie Furlong?
Drugs.
Okay.
In a word.
Because he should have written this to the fucking... I suppose he did
American History X. He was in a couple other films. I think he was in a Crow fucking sequel as well. But
he dated Punky Brewster too.
But yeah, he's a walking advertisement for how celebrity and money can sometimes not be a good thing. That's why 7. We'll see how high it goes in your list, Wayne. What is your number 7?
My number 7, ironically, is Face Off. That's right.
Wow.
It's Face Off. Yo, tell me about Face Off, right? After we saw... Oh, by the way, it's John Travolta, Nicolas Cage. They are... Face Off. They actually... Yes, because they're trying to impersonate each other. It's a long story. It's actually not a long story, but it's a John Woo film. And we were very John Woo fanish boys then at the time. And I do remember watching this film with the crackers, with our friends, you know? And we would chill. And afterwards, like, even one of the more, Adam, he one of the more sort of, he'd rag on a movie quite more easily. Well, not as bad as Paul, but pretty much. He said, wow, that movie only fed the bullshit machine once. And that one moment was where Nicolas Cage / John Travolta got off the floating prison somehow. We assume he stole a boat and got back to the shore, but you don't see that. You just see him run out of the damn place. So... But that was it, really.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Come on, the whole concept of
now, because I think in the movie it's actually mentioned that they have different blood types. So I think if you put someone's it would just reflect. So
to say nothing about the fact that, you know, then John Travolta, i.e., Nicolas Cage being John Travolta, Castor Troy being Sean Archer, is banging Mrs. Sean Archer. And she doesn't notice anything different.
Yes. And someone has determined, I think it was Dina, she said, no, you can tell a different dick. It feels different. So, and I'm sure it would, because you'd have different dick technique, you'd have different slapping face. Yeah, all kinds of shit, right?
Slapping technique.
Yeah, just.
And when you say slapping, you mean of your own penis, right?
Yeah, against her.
Right, yeah, good.
Yeah, okay,
just making sure.
Oh, no, not slapping her.
No, thank you.
No, sorry, yeah.
You gotta be careful how your word.
Yeah, I'm always talking in terms of a penis, so she should know.
Well, it does take one to know one.
So, yes, but that was it. But you know what? You're right about all that shit, all right? But fucking, did we not adore this film?
I still greatly enjoy it.
All works great. And are they still remaking this? Have you heard anything?
I don't know anything more about it.
Come on. Yeah, I know. But,
I hope not. Who would you cast? Have we had this discussion? I can't remember.
So it has to be two similarly built actors, and you would assume one is The Rock. I don't know.
No one can go next to The Rock.
You're right. So it has to be someone
to be someone a bit more realistic.
You know what would be cool? If it was someone like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers and Cillian Murphy. Or so. It's like two guys, just normal looking. Like, you know what I mean? Like not necessarily big guys both or tough guys both, just two character actors.
How about this? Nick Nolte and Gary Busey.
Oh my God.
Face off geriatrics.
It's like, oh, we tried to put this face on you, Mr. Busey, but it just fell off. Okay,
all right, yeah. That's again, your list never ceases to surprise me.
Yes,
Wayne.
It's weird. I hear you.
Here's my Christopher Nolan entry. Another one. So two in my list.
Oh, it's got to be.
My number six is Inception.
Yeah, there it is. Now, that just fell off my list because whatever.
Inception. Holy shit.
Dude, this is, you know what I feel about, not to fuck up Tenet again, but Inception, again, I said, Chris is a genius. Sure. All right?
Right.
Inception is the height of his geniusness.
I agree.
Okay? This is as good as it gets, and we still marvel about how ambitious it is, how respectfully it treats the audience's intellect, and this is as far as he can push it. You push it over this, it becomes Tenet.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it is.
How well it hangs together, I think, is really important. Like, this film, when watching it the first time, I was enthralled and kind of trying to work it out in my head and how it all, you know, down through the different levels and the different timelines and how fast time is moving and all that. Brilliant. Just really engaging, even as a concept, but then to see it in execution, it commands everything, your attention through to your jizz, really,
yes,
by the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Except for the guy, I've told the story, in the first night I saw it, who was sitting behind me, who literally was snoring his ass off in the second half of the film. I'm sure he has a different take on the film. But then to go back and rewatch this film in the four or five times I have, the latest viewing being on 4K last year or the year before, where I bumped it up to 5 stars because I had it at 4.5.
And good Lord.
You know how rare I give a 5-starer.
Yep.
Well, everything at this point on my list onwards is 5 stars. So that's that's how big this list is for me.
Wow. Do you find... No, that's okay. That's okay. I understand how you like this kind of fucking shit. And I'm really impressed that a home viewing then bumped it up to 5 for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't get it. Okay. Okay, all good.
Yeah, the 4K disc just to see it out of that sort of Blu-ray and into this next level.
Yeah, it worked because it was linear, even though it was weird. Very cool. All right. No, I can't fault that.
Cool.
My number 6 is The Dark Knight. So we're back to you, son.
Okay. Yep. So... I'm going to play a little bit of jazz, my lift here. I had him around the other way, but I'm going to switch him around here. And I don't know where this will hold. And one day we will hear my top 10 films of all time and I'll lock it into place.
But okay.
My number 5 is Saving Private Ryan.
I should have put it at 7. all right.
That, this time I would have been okay with that.
Yeah. Now that definitely was the Spielbergian blockbuster. And sure,
it's my favorite Spielberg film. It's my favorite war film of all time. I don't think anything's come close to capturing the harrowing nature of what I imagine war to be, which is backed up by people who actually fought in wars, at least back in those days of World War II. It's harrowing is the right word.
There's kind of nothing you can... It's almost like sublime in terms of what... I'd never actually had that experience in a cinema before. That opening bit was so horrible.
Yep.
All right? And just the shame and the horror of it. It was really hard to take. And it's quite like harsh to actually open a film like that. I know it's a war film.
This is the film from the guy who directed E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And what else had he done by that point in time? But, you know, just he's kind of family fare, generally speaking.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. This is a violent-ass Steven Spielberg.
He's done Schindler's List before this, obviously. That's a really dark and traumatic film. So the pedigree was there, don't get me wrong. But I think it takes to the next level. Obviously, the horror of what happened to those poor people in Schindler's List is in a different way worse. But then this was more visceral, in your face.
Oh, right? Man.
The gory... results of a battle and what it does to the human body and then the chaos of it all and just how unlucky these people were. You know, the thing winds down to and 15 guys just die instantaneously.
Yep. And it's such a it's just so sad when you watch it. And the genius of Spielberg, that's why I say when he's like, okay, I went out and it took 50% of the color out of the fucking opening scene, and then we actually changed the frame rate to make it look more like a documentary. All these tricks that are actually making you feel it more
authentic.
That's fucking amazing. Who thinks of that, man? That's some director genius shit.
Yep. That's why he is one of the seminal voices of his generation.
He's Spielberg.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Thank you.
And for a little bit of a change of pace, we're going to go with number five being Die Hard.
Low.
Oh, Cracker, please. Oh.
Low, 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 low.
Oh, you're doing the theme,
low,
the Christmas
low,
theme?
Low,
yeah,
low,
okay.
Low, low, low.
Smooth. yes. Can we say that this film created a genre? Is this the
everyman horror?
Everyman being a hero
genre?
Thing? Yeah. I'm not sure, but I don't recall seeing it before this.
Well, I think we did see it before, but not so deliberately. So, because I think what we saw before was people like Charles Bronson, right, who weren't buff King Dick action heroes, but they were action.
Well, now, you know, Charles Bronson's trading off like The Great Escape and shit. He was always
Dirty Dozen.
So he's a guy.
Yeah,
as opposed
to a very
to,
manly man. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But he wasn't buff, or he just looks like a normal looking dude.
Well, certainly in the Death Wishes game, he looked like a fucking bulldog. So yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's the same thing though.
Yeah,
like,
you're probably. I mean, no, you're right. Because I mean, David from fucking Moonlighting.
That was the biggest thing. Did you know? I mean, we all know about Die Hard. I'm not going to trail you on about it, but there's some interesting things about Die Hard. You probably know this being a fan. Frank Sinatra had the first crack at this, had to turn it down before he.
Well,
got
he bought the rights to the book. The book, by the way, is a piece of shit.
Yeah, what's it called again?
Nothing Lasts Forever, I think.
Yeah, nothing. That's right.
Something
along
those lines. And I read it. I read it many years ago. I was astounded about that they could salvage such a good film out of this train wreck of a book, which barely makes any sense. The writing is barely coherent. I think it's written by Roderick Thorpe.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
Would you say that the Die Hard franchise, right, steadily declining? Is it like the last one was the biggest piece of shit?
Yeah, except I like three more than two. I know you're a big two fan.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I could kind of get on board with that.
And A Good Place to Die Hard or A Good Day to Die Hard, whatever the fuck that one is called, is just
that's the one with the franchise killer. What's his name?
Jai Courtney.
Jai Courtney, yes. Yep. Okay. I was watching a Kevin Smith thing, and he said he was talking to Bruce Willis years ago on set of whatever. And
probably cop out.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, you ever going to do another Die Hard? And Bruce Willis said this. He goes, you know what I always wanted to do with Die Hard? I want the opening scene to be this. John McClane goes in, he's fighting a bunch, he's shooting at whatever, like, you know, 10, 15 bad guys, and they finally get the drop on him and they knock him out and they wake him up in a chair and he's all tied and they've got guns at him. They're about to blow him away and they say, "You any last words?" And he says, "I ever tell you guys about my first job?" And then it flashes back to him as a cop, right? As played by a young person. And then the whole rest of the movie is this flashback of John McClane, young John McClane, narrated by Bruce Willis. And of course, at the end of the movie, when you see that first, they try and kill John McClane. He gets out of it somehow, and that's it. That would be a pretty cool Die Hard, don't you think?
Mm.
I mean, let's you know.
Why have they not just shot him instead of saying any last
words? I think the idea here is that John McClane is so charming, the bad guys want to know, like, maybe they're bemused, like Christopher Walken, like, this guy, you know, like maybe it's that, you know what I'm saying? That would be kind of cool, right? I think it'd be kind of cool. But that's just me. I don't know.
I'd rather Christopher Walken's backstory from Two Elements. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Look, it doesn't take any away from how good Die Hard is. Alan Rickman, of course, we need to mention him as one of the greatest cinema villains of all time, if not the greatest, Hans Gruber.
He's the shit. And he even said that, I think I was reading somewhere, he actually didn't know, like, he actually decided to, that he brought the whole suit thing.
Right.
The director wanted it to be a more sort of like military tactical outfit.
Right, right.
He said, no, let's make it like this. And that's where it went. So
it's a lot ballsy from a guy in his first film.
It was his first film.
He said, a big actor in stage, I think.
Yeah, but no one knew him, right? And then, yeah, that's kind of cool. So there you are.
Magnificent film. Watched it again late last year for maybe the 30th time. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I lost count. I can almost quote that film verbatim, I reckon. Not, you know, while it's on, being cued by it.
It's responsible purely for my like of Run DMC. So there you go.
Just random quotes, which no one else loves. Shut it down. Shut it down now.
Oh, yeah. We've used that for years. Yep. This is how it is growing up with us people.
All right. Very nice. My number four, then, is where now Mad Max Fury Road shuffles to.
Wondering where this one would turn up.
Look, if you have been listening to the show for any length of time, you understand how much I love this film. I know it has its detractors. I don't care. Yes, they drive out to someplace. Yes, they turn around and come back for narratively effective reasons. And it's phenomenal. Charlize Theron's incredible in the film. Tom Hardy's good as Mad Max, but
action—he's as good as he can be. It's about her.
Are astounding, absolutely. And the look of the film, as directed by George Miller, is anything else like it. That sideways sort of the cars going along, or the trucks going, along, and it explodes in sort of segments. That shot is forever burned into my memory. It is so gorgeous.
See, I remember the sandstorm, but is George Miller, he's like
80? At the time of the shooting, he was 70 from vague memory.
70-year-old,
yep.
Roles like this. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be more impressed, bro.
So he's not be more impressed. 75, 76 now, I think. And
he's got another one in him?
Well, it's still stuck in development hell, I understand.
So was this for like years, right? This one had massive problems.
Yeah, it took a long time to shoot. There were massive problems with it. So for it to come out as well as it did, you know, with all the horror stories, and Tom Hardy told George Miller it's going to be a piece of shit, and apparently Hardy and Charlize Theron clashed, and just no one got along, and then this is what comes out after.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like Rogue One, also very troubled, but mm-hmm. Look at what happened.
Yeah, good film.
Nice one.
Cool.
My number four is Top Gun.
Wow.
Top Gun, bro.
Oh my God, this should be like top 10 Tom Cruise fucking films.
I just realized there is pretty Tom Cruise heavy. That's fine. I think that speaks to the man's career. People, Top Gun 1986, it was in May. I was 11 years old. Most of my ideal that Tom Cruise may have been a cool up-and-comer, because I had only after this movie did I then go see Risky Business or anything that he did before, Losing It, all right? But the
what was that one? What's this?
Legend?
No, even earlier than that, the one with all the Rat Pack is in it.
Oh, The Outsiders.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Top Gun itself became... Now, I think we'll just say the fighter pilot thing, I didn't know anything about that shit. Sure, I'm a boy and I like military stuff and I like guns and stuff because I'm a boy. Yeah, I know it's a weird thing to say now, but as a kid, toy guns and shit are cool.
Yeah, of course.
I have them all over my house now. So
he does.
Yeah. So, first of all, I didn't even know that the Air Force was in the Navy, right? I didn't even know that. Why? Because I live here. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Right?
I still don't know that.
Yeah. So, and
I've seen this movie.
There you go. But what made the movie cool was, one, it was out at the right time for that thing to be a thing. There was the changed fashion at the time, okay? People were wearing the odd-looking flight suit-looking jumpsuit thingies. Yeah, chicks
people
were doing
still
chicks
wear
were doing
fucking,
that.
What do you call them, aviators.
Aviators, that's where this fucking came from. And probably bomber jackets too, let's face it. So, you know, there was all that shit. Tom Cruise was coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember there wasn't a person ever that didn't like Tom Cruise. Like, this dude is fucking hot. All the hoes are talking about it, right? So
And many men.
Yeah. Probably me too, let's face it. So,
if this list is any indication.
But yes, I think the only thing I can tell you about it is that it's just beloved by me on a level that this Top Gun Maverick thing that's coming out.
Well, yeah, you must be like,
I've been waiting for fucking
frothing.
Because I didn't know what they do with it, man. I didn't know what they do. And like, because they got the Jennifer Connelly. Have you seen Kelly McGillis now?
Yes.
Yeah. That's why they didn't offer that. But like the. But
you're killing me, Smalls.
But I do want to see everything about this. And by the way, I've talked about this before. I love F-14s. They're just a beautiful looking plane. There you go. I'm a fucking nut. All right.
All right. So Top Gun Maverick, Wayne is going to have to put it back in his pants as I move on to my number three. And here is a better sci-fi film than Edge of Tomorrow.
Go on.
It's called The Matrix.
It's not bad. It's very nice. It's very nice. I should have said my favorite non-franchise sci-fi film. But I still think it's better than Matrix. I do.
You're fat, bloated, stupid.
And this
idiot.
Is where I lose the vote.
Edge of Tomorrow, good as film as it is, better than The Matrix. A film which changed cinema.
It satisfied me like more for some reason. Don't get me wrong, I love The Matrix.
Matrix is fucking incredible. It's not even on your list.
I think I got disappointed by this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it sort of fucked it up a bit.
I don't let those sequels drag down, or particularly the third one, drag down this first one.
Yeah, it's wise to do that, but I think it did for many people.
I'm very happy just to go, as far as I'm concerned, the end of the first one is the end. Like that said, Matrix 4 is coming December 26th.
Yeah,
so.
You're going to crystal skull the shit out of that, aren't you?
What?
Exactly.
You're right. Yeah, no, exactly. I already made that joke earlier. Ruined that joke earlier. Also, by the way, I said Rat Pack. I think I meant the Brat Pack is right.
Brat Pack, yeah, you're right, yeah. Yes.
But this film, The Matrix, just blew everyone's mind at the time. And
no,
not just with its cinematography and its bullet time and all that stuff, but the concept of, whoa, we all live in this artificially computer-generated world. We're all plugged into it. We don't know any different. How cool is that? The philosophical debates and ramifications of that idea, which just go so far beyond the film itself. But then the film itself is fucking phenomenal.
Because cartwheels in the air as you're running up a wall and getting shot at in slow motion is cool.
That first scene,
all right.
Carrie Ann Moss is doing her shit and whipping everyone's ass.
Yeah, that's been parodied so many times. And also...
But do you remember that moment in the cinema when you're watching like,
and the
whoa.
Yeah, it's like the set swung around, yep, as far as you knew. Because like we've never seen a camera move like that when someone's like stuck, yep, in like... And it wasn't like she was... still in the air. He was still moving as the camera went around her. That was unheard of at the time.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah. We've talked about this in the past, but you would take the red pill if offered, yes?
Like the red pill's the one. Do you want to know the truth?
I think the red pill's
always
the one.
Always forget which one's which. I'll take, yeah, look. In that scenario, I'm not sure. But in a scenario where someone had reasoned with me long enough that what do you care? If it's not nothing happens, nothing happens. But I'm not just sure I'd take a pill from any stranger, I have to be honest.
Yeah, let's say that you... Let's say we, for some reason... Yeah, you're
that
right.
That said, had I had watched something come crawling out of my gut, you know what I mean? Had that centipede experience and whatever else.
Yeah, it probably would,
then,
wouldn't you?
Then I might be much more inclined to.
I'd be like, can I get like a steak and like something? And
yeah,
like,
well, if someone has walked up to me on the street, do you want to take the red pill or blue pill? I'd be like, get the fuck away from me.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was... Mm-hmm.
You need to have some corroboration of some other things that have happened since. And like, you know, someone rings you on your phone and says, go left now, go right, and then you are dodging. Yeah. Okay.
So all right, let me ask you this thing.
Shit going on.
Let's say you had full visibility. You knew what the Matrix was, which is this.
Right.
Right? And you also knew what life was like in the Ebuchadnezzar or whatever, like mm-hmm. in the fucking, like the shitty life where you can only have
oats. So would I cipher everyone?
No, not would you cipher everyone, but would you take the red pill if you said, okay, this is the real thing that you're actually fucking living, but you don't know it, and if you take this red pill, you can go there. Otherwise, take the blue pill and stay here. What would you do? What would you do?
Red pill.
Red pill. Yeah. You'd still go to the fucking, you know, there's not many blowjobs back there. I'm just saying, Paul. I don't know which way I would go, man. I don't know which way
okay.
I'd go.
All right.
Okay, but that's the you and me of the whole thing. Paul wants the truth, and I'm happy to be blissfully ignorant.
Yes.
There you go.
Edge of Tomorrow being better than the Matrix.
Nice tie back, not bad at all.
All right, over to you.
My number three, speaking of which, is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay.
Yeah, boy.
Good film. Really good film.
Great film. Okay, now everyone, I remember when someone in the schoolyard, because this is 1989, son, all right, they told me that the new Indiana Jones would be about Indy and his father. And the father was played by James Bond. And I went, what? Because we all know now that the Indiana Jones franchise is in fact Steven Spielberg's attempt at doing a James Bond mm-hmm. when he was told he couldn't do one. So I was like, fuck off. That is the coolest shit I have ever heard. Whose brilliant idea is this? Hollywood really is magic. This is when I was a young impressionable.
Yeah, sure.
As opposed to an old impressionable man. So this whole thing where, again, I already loved Temple of Doom, remember, where no one else knew it. So Last Crusade.
People, Temple of Doom's fine. Just you and like Justin Winters from So I Made a Movie Geek defend it as the best of the whole lot.
Which yeah.
Blows my mind.
It's you know, it's one of those things where you're like, well, it's certainly my favorite of the whole lot. But I mean, you know. This one here, though, but the idea that they went to... Indy goes to Venice, and I'm sorry, but it was really interesting to me that he sort of...
Indy went to Venice with Allison Doody. That's what Wayne's actually saying here.
Look, that became a whole thing because I was not sure I could look at another girl who with Indy that wasn't Kate Capshaw. I know you hate her.
Kate
I know
Capshaw.
You hate her. It was, oh my God, is he nuts? That's how it went. Mm-hmm. So, which I understand is pretty similar.
We are going to die.
Yeah. See, all that shit, I don't even like insects. So that was my whole thing. But then this Allison Doody chick turns up.
I forget, by the way, I didn't finish my point. Karen Allen is the indie woman to compare to.
See, now here's why Raiders is on your list.
Woman character to compare to, not Kate fucking Capshaw.
This is the thing, okay? I'm going to tell you this right now, Polly, okay? This is why Raiders on your list and this is why this one on my list, okay? Karen Allen never really rated her. I love the movie. I love the character, sort of, all right? But she was too tomboyish and I'm your goddamn partner! I'm like, you know what? Maybe just stop talking. That's what I... And she was scrappy. I mean, I don't know if it's scrappy. Look, she's fine, all right? But in Allison Doody, well, that's where it's at, right? I mean, Paul's a big fan. I know he is. So am I. So I'm all about this.
After this, all she was in was straight-to-video movies.
Was she?
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. But you know what was cool about this is the way that the location sort of just... like, he goes to Venice. He goes to a church. He finds a hole in the fucking floor or whatever. The very next scene, he smashes it with a thing, breaks through it, goes down. Now they're in an underground cavern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Indiana, it's Temple of Doom again. It's Temple of Doom with the fucking rats and the this and the... I'm like, oh, shit. This, just a second ago, you were walking around this beautiful thing and now you're Indiana Jones again. I love that shit. So that's my jam, man. One guy talking. Last Crusade.
Ooh, the pen really is mightier than the sword.
Yeah, Marcus Brody, great too, man, I say.
Good sequence with the tanks and whatever else.
Damn
and,
right.
Yeah. I just don't think this had the action sequences where anywhere as good as the ones in Raiders Lost Ark. That's why.
Really?
Mm.
Even with the boat and the, my soul is ready, Dr. Jones. It's yours.
It's yours.
Good shit. That's good shit, man. All right. To each his own.
Only the penitent man shall pass.
That's right. None of those fucking traps rusted up or had any problems after 2,000 years. No problem at all.
That's all right by me. My number two, here's where I had Die Hard.
Well, number two is where I had Terminator 2.
Oh, damn. All right.
Also, now it becomes like a thing with our fucking number ones. What indeed was our favorite almost
album? There's not a crossover. We haven't had it yet. Okay. Well, I'll give you my recap of my 10 through 2. Number 10, Avengers Infinity War. 9, Raiders of the Lost Ark. 8, The Dark Knight. 7, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. 6, Inception. 5, Saving Private Ryan. 4, Mad Max Fury Road. 3, The Matrix. 2, Die Hard. And my number one, the best blockbuster I've ever seen at the cinema. I watched it not at the time it came out because I was too young, but I went back and watched it on IMAX on the Omnidome when it was released.
Oh, it's got to be.
It's Aliens.
There it is.
Yes.
Of course it is.
Aliens is the perfect horror, sci-fi, thriller hybrid for me. It has one of the most iconic characters of all time in Ellen Ripley, and then it had some of the best side characters that have ever been put to film, and then James Cameron mercilessly culls them off until we're just down to Hicks, Newt, obviously, and Bishop alongside Ripley.
That was always your jam. But let me tell you something. Like, in my head, I still can't get to Aliens being a horror at all. To me, it's a sci-fi only.
Fine, I'm fine with that.
Do you know what I mean? But like, it's weird to me that you say horror. I'm like, you're right. I guess it is.
Sci-fi first, horror second.
No, but it's you're right. It definitely is a horror. It's just that
obviously, it's not an action film. There's not enough action in the 2.5 hour
runtime. Do you think so? Because it seems like an action film to me.
It's definitely got its action movie beats or action scene beats. That bit where they go into the first foray into where all the, what they call them, personal data recorders are of the colonists.
Oh, that's the shit.
It goes from thriller to horror to action.
Yeah.
Yeah, escape out of there. So fucking cool.
The idea that each Marine had a camera on them and then there's a feed somewhere where you can see everyone's thing is so like voyeuristically kind of like satisfying.
Even the fucking motion trackers.
The motion trackers are cool. That's like old. Yeah, and you see that the display is so like basic. Doesn't matter because it's cool, man. It's like, you know, that was cool. Yeah, fair enough.
Amazing film.
Nice work. No one would fault you. And that's totally Paul.
All right, we haven't heard Wayne's number one. Then let's hear it now. 10 okay. through 2 and then reveal.
Number 10 is Mission Impossible Fallout. Number 9 was Live, Die, Repeat or Edge of Tomorrow. 8, Point Break. Yep, that's right. 7, Face Off. Damn right. Number 6, The Dark Knight, Word to Big Bird. 5, Die Hard, sure. 4, sure. Top Gun, of course. Number 3, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Junior. Number 2, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. And my number 1, this is as much me as Paul's is Paul's, Batman. Oh, 89,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's how it is. Now, there's summer movies and there's summer events. That's what's going on here, okay? No one didn't know Batman after this film. All kinds of cool shit. And I remember, I think I might have said this before, but like when I actually, this is one of the first premieres I ever went to. So when we walked outside, they were shining the bat symbol on a nearby skyscraper. I shot that. That means someone's got a Batman spotlight in Perth. And I'm like, yo, I need to find that shit and talk to Commissioner What's It. So. But I did we, because Tim Burton is the, you know, like this was, it was odd. Everyone didn't expect this to go well. Tim Burton, who? And then Michael Keaton? Come on, man.
Yeah, that was some controversial casting.
But. Huge. And I had real problems with it, but then I saw it and like, guess what? So now it's all awesome. Would you say this didn't start the superhero dark thing, did it? Or did it? It did. The dark superhero thing was this movie.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because after that,
I can't think of anything else that came before
it. Yeah, so. Yeah, the shadow. Yeah, no, that was
all
after
that. I mean, it's dark in a Tim Burton kind of way. He's not exactly... I mean, Batman himself's a pretty dark character, let's be honest.
Yeah, and I think it was actually a weird choice for Warner to say, okay, Tim Burton, you do this? Because they obviously wanted a dark star.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's weird. But oh, look, it's just my thing, okay? Batman 89 is my favorite Batman. Michael Keaton's my favorite Batman.
Fair enough.
There you are.
Yeah. Obviously, I have a preference for Christian Bale and that trilogy.
Absolutely.
But I
They're
totally
actually
respect.
Mostly good. Even Batfleck's great. I think he's a great Batman.
He has some good moments, I think, Batfleck. All right. So that's our list. Let's go through honorable mentions real fast, Wayne. Take us down them.
Sure. Out of Sight.
What?
Yeah, man.
No.
The only reason it's not on the list is because it wasn't an actual blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was a sleeper hit, which surprised the shit out of me.
Hell yeah. I didn't put Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's definitely a blockbuster. Yep.
Empire, I just didn't put on here because I was a little young when it came out.
Oh,
Empire Strikes Back, sorry. Back to the Future, Aliens, that's it.
Back to the Future on my list. I always had Jaws. The one that kicked
it
off.
I thought you would.
It was so close to
But you love Aliens more, and I like that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. At the end of the day, which film is a better film for me? probably Avengers Infinity War in terms of what it accomplishes. But if I what's made a bigger mark on me, Jaws, for sure.
Jaws, really?
So Jaws is right around there for me. Logan, very close to my
really
list as well.
Good call.
Spider-Man, colon, Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah, good. I should have thought about that.
That's
one.
That's a big budget film, but you know, but it also came out pretty late in the year from memory, like October, November. So I didn't.
Look, you treat animated a little bit different. You do. Okay. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
True Lies.
Fuck.
And Predator.
That was so, I was amazed President Rolls.
Predator could easily have been on there.
That's what I was waiting for. Yep. So, okay. Nice one.
That's our list. What about yours? We wrap up every topic on the show with your list on the topic at hand. No, that, you know what I mean? Let's just do it. The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Joey DiCarlo from the So Is It podcast. Great show, do check them out. Number 3, Avengers Infinity War 2, Independence Day.
Yeah.
And number 1, the original Star Wars.
Sure.
Very understandable.
Sure. Yep. Sure.
Chris Yeaney, patron to the show, said number 3, Jurassic Park. Gets quite a few mentions, I have to say. This is all exclusive to our Facebook listening community, by the way. I didn't have time to put this topic up on Twitter. So air all these responses from our Facebook listening community. Check out link in the show notes. Number 2, Terminator 2.
Mm.
And number 1, Spider-Man, which I guess is the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah, yep. Totally understandable.
Jonathan Kidd said this list should be way easier than last week. It was. Number 3, Batman. Keaton, son.
What up, dog?
Number 2, Jurassic Park. I remember 7-year-old me shitting at those raptors. And number 1, Jaws. Aside from Robocop, this is the best film ever made. Wait, Robocop was a summer release. Shit, this will be harder than I thought.
See, that happened all through this damn thing.
It did. Drew Hallam from the Real Feels podcast. Drew said number 3, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Number 2, Robocop again. Number 1, Jurassic Park.
These are good. You can't really fault any of these, really.
No, they're all, absolutely. Yeah. Stephanie Coley had number 3, Speed.
Oh, I thought about it. Did you? Totally thought about it. Oh, Speed is good, man. Speed
number 2, too. Ghostbusters. Number 1, Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Ellis had the best Christmas movie ever, Die Hard. That was his only entry. John Hulslander said Jurassic Park at 3, T2 at 2, and number 1, Star Wars A New Hope. Jaws may have started it, but this was unlike anything anyone had seen before, which is a great choice. G-Banger, Gerald Morris from Two Peas on a Podcast. Good supporter, friend of the show, patron. Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2, and Jaws.
I like Spider-Man 2 more as well.
AKA the only real answer that matters from Gerald. Lou Fry, again, Jurassic Park, a.k.a. Billy and the Clonosaurus. 2, Speed, a.k.a. the bus that couldn't slow down. And number 1, Die Hard, a.k.a. John McClane saves Christmas.
Yeah.
Last couple then, B Dizzle, Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast and patron of the show. Jaws, Independence Day, Jurassic Park. These are the big three.
A lot of, yeah, that's how it
is. You can tell neither of us read through the comments before we put our list
together. Nope, I never do.
Stephen Burns had Jaws, ID4 and Jurassic Park as well.
Independence Day, eh?
Yeah, I mean, people love him. Dan Brennick, Netflix and Spool, he watches this on repeat all every July 4th.
Independence Day! Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, because, yeah. Okay.
Good on you, Dan. Sean Ennis, the Velvet Sledgehammer, as Nick has termed his voice. Jurassic Park, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Jaws. And finally, from the last, David Powell, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws, and Blade Runner as his number 1.
Classicist. Yeah. Fair enough.
There we are. Thank you so much to everyone who got back to us. Got through most of that today, but just the later ones I didn't get a chance to. But Wayne's looking at me with a side eye, so I need to move on.
I'm just glancing over.
Sure. All right, Wayne, how do the listeners get in touch with us with their feedback on the topic at hand, or indeed more generally?
Google The Countdown Podcast and find our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
And where can they buy some merch?
Countdownmerch.com. Just put it in there, support the show, maybe get yourself some cool tees, shit, phone covers, all kinds of stuff.
Summer in North America is now you need some t-shirts.
That's right. I designed all that shit. So if you want me to design something different, hit me up.
Oh, look out. There you go. You know what do you want to hear? What That's quote right. from the soundboard? Maybe you want to hear this one.
Ooh,
fuck off.
That's a bingo.
Yeah, that'll put in a t-shirt and everyone will get it. Fuck off.
And you can also check us out on Twitter at Countdown PC. Like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. Check out, as the mentioned, aforementioned Facebook listener community. ccradio.com.au for Believe and Comic Confidential, two other great shows as part of the network. I think that's about everything.
We're done, man. Right? That's a show.
We're done. What's happening next week? Episode 324.
I don't know.
Top 10 boat movies.
Top 10 boat movies is
not
what
even
it
gonna,
is.
Not even going to put you through the horror.
That's
of the
right.
A, B, C, D.
Fuck you.
Oh, now I will.
Boat films. Boat movies.
Films that take place on a boat. Spoilers. A film mentioned heavily today will feature on my list.
I can't really remember what we said, but sure.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, that's it. Pretty straightforward brief. We're looking forward to that one. Hope you'll join us then. Thank you so much for joining us today. On that note, my name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
What? No.
What the hell are you?
What are you doing?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
Prick.
Hold on.
What the hell's
all
wrong with
you?
All
legitimate reactions when you hear how much Tom Cruise is on Wayne's list.
Fuck off.
We will catch you next
really
time.
Really worked a lot for that.
Cheers.